Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sticking around for a few minutes of news, which we don't always have at the top of the hour, but we wanted to make sure that you got all the headlines under your belt before we started talking about the arts today. As I've told you before, but I'll remind you again, Central Coast Voices has a main goal to bring you credible, valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. We want to address how today's choices, or in some cases lack of choices, may affect tomorrow's community and how we look at the long-term ramifications of changes in our society. Action for Healthy Communities is the underwriting organization of this program and does a study every 3 years, which just recently came out, which is called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. The last report came out in December of 16. You can see that report and or download the entire thing at no charge or no need to register on any website at actionslo.org. We thank you for joining us today. I also want to remind you that this is a program that you are welcome to call into. The phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. And I would encourage you to call in early because on a couple of occasions we've had some late callers in the program that we have not been able to get on the air. Today we get to talk about something that's a subject that I enjoy and I think is something that you will enjoy too, and that's it's creativity at the core. And not the common core parts that people mostly want to argue about, but whether or not the core of education and part of that common core includes teaching the arts and learning about the arts. And it seems to be, in a lot of cases, part of our curriculum in education that's not readily available. And there's a statewide program to support the arts through public education and public schools from pre-K through 12, and it's led by the California County Superintendents Art Association. That's basically the county superintendents of education for all the counties of California got together and put together an arts initiative. And this has many partners. The partners include the San Luis Obispo County of Education and also Arts Obispo and many other partners, including the California PTA. My guests today are Angela Totti, who is the executive director of Arts Obispo. She's been on the program with us before, but it's been a while since you've been here. And Kay Gore, and she is an artist, an educator, and a grant writer with Kay Gore and Associates Consulting. We want to talk about why creativity really is at the core of education and sometimes gets kind of lost in the process there. We want to talk about how the integration of arts as part of the Common Core is something that we really want to see expanded on and maybe, from my perspective, brought back to what it was like when I was a child in school. But as a general rule, dance, music, theater arts, and visual arts are not getting as much recognition in our educational process as they used to, and that's what we're here to talk about today. So, Angela, I'm going to start with you. Give me some idea of why this is a critical topic. And it hasn't just always been dealt with the way it should be.
Well, Fred, thank you for inviting us, first off. And happy National Arts Education Month, by the way. March is that. So creativity at the core is really a triple entendre. It's creativity is at the core of life. And just think, this morning you woke up and you went to your closet and you picked out something to wear. Somebody designed that shirt. Right. The chair that you're seated in today, somebody designed that. Perhaps you drove a car. The car industry is a big aspect of art and design, especially in California. It's a large part of our economy. And all of the people involved in that product development and design, they went to school somewhere. And along the line, they had to learn their craft. And so the arts are completely teachable. And I just used the design example. We could do the same for musicians and dancers and thespians. But the other aspect of creativity is at the core, as you mentioned, is that it's about a core subject. The arts are designated as a core subject at the federal level and at the state level. At the state level, we were designated in 2001, and there are rigorous benchmarks for learning for pre-kindergarten through 12, and it is teachable. Each of those disciplines are teachable, just as math, science, history, and language arts are teachable.
Okay. Let me... I am a bad musician, but I guess I should confess that at some point I was not a bad musician. I was just a mediocre musician. I guess maybe if I'm clarified a little bit more, I was a bad drummer, which was the only instrument I ever was successful at, even though people who listen to the program might know I tried the mandolin and I tried the flute, and that was probably not a good idea. But where I'm going with this is that when I graduated high school, which was, by the way, in 1969, there was a whole wing of my high school in Van Nuys, California, that was indeed the arts wing. There were two classrooms for instrument music. There were two classrooms for vocal music, and they were a busy place. I moved up here in the late 70s and was surprised at what I thought I saw, which was a marked lack of music in public schools. And then when my first child was born in the mid-80s, I was really surprised when she went to public school that there was very little in the way of music in schools. But so I thought it was small town America doesn't have as much money for music programs, until my mom sent me an article out of the LA Times in about 19, I think probably 81 or 82, that showed that the band program at my high school went away until a high school senior agreed to become the band director while he was a high school senior. And I was just shocked at what happened to music. So I guess one of the key questions, and I'll throw it out to both of you, is when did music become unimportant, or the arts become unimportant in public school, so we have to even have this discussion about ways to make them more important again?
You know, I think that when funding pressures, there have been cycles over the last 40 years that I've experienced, and funding cycles have driven the push and shove of the arts, because there is sometimes a misconception that the arts are a frill, that they're something extra. But in fact, they are the fourth R, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, arts. So it's essential. Here's what I say when people say to me, I can't even draw a stick figure. I say, if you hadn't continued your math education beyond third grade, you would not know how to multiply or divide. You would only know how to add and subtract. Well, the arts are very much the same. You learn progressively, and you add every year to your learning in the arts. And if you had continued your arts education, if the school district that you were in had continued to invest in that and plan for it incrementally through your 12th grade, you would never say, I can't even draw a stick figure. And it would matter not if you had any interest to go be a professional artist or not. You would just have that basic skill that you could use, and knowledge that you could use in viewing other art forms.
Yeah. Well, and I think another thing, I think about the same age, and I taught for 12 years in Virginia Beach City Public Schools, and what I noticed in looking at the history of education was that art was a major part, and I think anyone listening to this program who is of our ages can think back on our elementary school and high school. You did high school, and say, what are the activities that I remember most? And I remember in fourth grade making the mural. I remember learning different folk dances. We had the arts integrated into our elementary and high school educations back then. But what happened was, and this was before me, but Sputnik came along, and there was this big push for math and science. And then finally the arts pushed back. Thank God we are the products of the pushback, and we got arts again, okay? And I think what happened was, and having been a teacher educator and a teacher, and having taught the arts in public school, what happened was we have focused on math and science, and now we're focusing on careers, that when you get out, we want you to be prepared for a career. And I wrote the Career Pathways Grant, or helped write it, for this county, for the County Office of Ed. And you should be very pleased. In this county, even though it's not necessarily designated as high need, high wage, we have the performing arts and we have the visual arts as career pathways. And the way we were able to do that was in studies that were done on our employers in this county. They wanted people who were creative thinkers, who were problem solvers. They said, we can teach you how to use a wrench. We can teach you how to build a wall, but we can't teach you how to problem solve or to be creative, to how to work in a group to get a project done, how to get up and communicate with people. And all of those come through the arts. And so at least in this county, we do see the arts as critical. However, it's very difficult to push back and say, look, yes, we need plumbers and we need electricians and we need mathematicians, but it isn't teaching the arts, it's also teaching through the arts, that we can teach math through the arts, we can teach science through the arts. And if you look at the Waldorf schools, for example, that's what they do all the way through 12th grade. They dance every single day. They do woodworking. They do science. They draw science. They draw history. So they do visual and performing arts. And that's where the top people, the CEOs, let's say, in Silicon Valley, send their children, is to those schools. And so all of our children need that. In this county, 46% of our children live at or below the poverty level. 16% are not proficient in English. We have schools in this county where 90% of our children are below the poverty level. Their parents cannot pay for the arts. So arts are not a luxury. Arts make us better human beings, and they make us better employees.
Kay, we have not met before, so you may not know this about me, but I'm married to a middle school math teacher who agrees with you. Okay, and one of her observations or commentary is that the students that she has in middle school math who are also musicians are better students, and the people who are involved in music know that they're better musicians based upon their conquering or challenging, getting through the challenges of math. So I'm wondering, your analysis based upon what happened during the early 60s and Sputnik is I think right on the money, because I remember my parents being worried about I was spending too much time in band in middle school in about 1965. So I recall that kind of thing going on. But if most of our educators, I'm hoping most of our educators are like my wife, who believe that there's a good reason to integrate this, why is it still an uphill battle?
For one reason, if you look at least in this state, preparation for teaching, mm-hmm. there is, unless you get it, let's say, in your liberal studies, you get the arts. You know, you will have actual classes in how to teach math, to teach English or language arts, but you don't have the arts, and it's not integrated, okay? And so we have a whole generation of teachers, and this is a real crisis that people don't understand. Dr. Brescia, who is our county superintendent of education, he says when he was preparing to become a teacher, you had to be an elementary school teacher. You absolutely had to have skills in music.
Remember the piano in your kindergarten classroom?
Exactly. And then what happened was they were pushed out. So, and your wife will tell you this. One of the critical things that we've seen, and in fact, one of the major studies, there's a whole research literature on teachers teach as they were taught. So if it's not modeled for them, not modeled in elementary school as it was for us or in high school, then what happens is it's not taught and modeled in training. And I'll riff off of something you said, and I wish I had the actual numbers, but the number of Nobel Prize winners in math and science it's something like 90% or higher are artists. I mean, are performing artists. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is not a hobby, an avocation. They are skilled. They don't say, I'm just like a moderate, you know, mediocre. They are skilled. Okay? So to separate math and science or literature, anything else, from the performing and visual arts is going to, in 20, 30 years, mean we're not going to be competitive. And once we took arts out of the schools, and there's a whole, again, body of literature on this, when we took arts out of the schools, before we took arts out of the schools, we were number one in the number of Nobel Prize winners in math and science, okay? We took arts out of the schools, and we're not anymore. So you talk about arts being critical. Arts is critical to the future of this nation. It needs to be implemented and integrated across K-12, pre-K-12.
So take heart, Fred, in the statewide movement to get behind that notion and the reality and the research that demonstrates this is true and that children in the lowest socioeconomic groups have actually the most to gain from a full complement of the arts in their school day. So at the state level, you mentioned at the top of the program, the Create California group, and that is backed by the superintendents, County Superintendents Association. It's an arts initiative. And in that cohort is the California Arts Council, the California Department of Education, the California Arts Education Alliance, the California PTA. And I'm missing somebody. But anyway, that's at the state level, everybody working together and collective impact. And then at the local level, you have groups working together, such as Jim Brescia and the County Education mm-hmm. Office and Arts Obispo and parents and teachers from around the county.
Okay. I want to get back into this. Let me just remind folks, we're talking about arts as a critical part of core education in public school or any school, but basically through pre-K through 12 is the area we're talking about. If you'd like to be part of this discussion, this is Community Public Radio KCBX 90.1, and we're glad you're listening today. This is a community program on a community radio station, so we would like you to be part of that discussion if you'd like. The phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. We would be glad to have you as part of the discussion. Angela, I stepped on you there because you had a point that you wanted to make, but I wanted to make sure that people remembered that they could still call and talk
Thank
with
you.
Us.
No, I think we were there, but I'll take you then back to the third entendre of creativity at the core, and that's actually a whole program with teaching modules to assist teachers in designing and developing lessons for students kindergarten through grade 12, if they're not already specialists in visual or performing arts. And it's a delivery system. There have been counties on the move, so to speak, for the last 10 years piloting these modules, and they can be specific to a certain discipline like science connected to the arts, or they could be discipline discrete, such as focused on dance. Then these modules have been tested in various school districts around the state, and now they're part of a compendium of lessons that you can find through the Creativity at the Core site. If you want to go see the lessons, you could access them through createcalifornia.org, createca.org. And one aspect of Creativity at the Core is actually engaging the community to take part and to partner with school districts. So artists have a lot to bring to the table, and organizations such as we have here with Festival Mosaic and the Symphony. And there are many opportunities for students to go and see things outside of the school day or bring visiting performing artists to the school. But also we can team professional artists who are trained in teaching in a classroom and have them work with the generalist teacher, develop and co-design lessons, and then deliver those to the students. So it enriches the day having the visiting artists, but it also brings up the confidence and competence in the teacher who didn't necessarily have this in their credentialing program. it enables them to feel like, I can do this. So no teacher, I've never heard a teacher say they had qualms in delivering a science lesson. But a funny thing happens when you talk about the arts, and all of a sudden people think they have to be professional. I can't draw a stick figure. So what this program tries to do at the local and statewide level is to team artists with teachers and have them collaborate, and it builds that confidence.
Okay. Before, Kay, I'll give you a second. I want to just hold on to a point that Angela just made. There's no resource of actual art teachers, it seems, or there are for visual arts, I think, more so than we have for performing arts, in drama, music, and dance. But I think we don't have that resource in a lot of cases of teachers that we want to be part of the solving the problem of the fact there's not enough education there right now. Well, so where do we find those teachers?
Well, I think there's a heavy competition to find teachers of any subject,
yeah,
at any grade level. There are a lot of factors for that we needn't get into. But so it's that much harder to find teachers of the arts. But they are out there. And then there are those organizations and programs that build teaching artists cores, such as in Santa Barbara, there's Children's Creative Services.
Mm-hmm.
And Children's Creative Services actually does have boots on the ground in San Luis Obispo and has for years. So that's one
They're
of our cohorts.
They're the folks that put on the Imadonari. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. My colleague Kathy Curry has led that organization for decades, and it's very strong, and it's also embedded with the Santa Barbara County Office of Education.
Mm-hmm.
So Arts Obispo is increasing its articulation with the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council, and we too are developing more teaching artists in San Luis Obispo County.
Kay, you had a point to make, and go ahead.
Well, teachers teach what they are taught. I mean, teachers teach what they are tested, mm-hmm, right? And so it kind of goes back to when you said, why aren't the arts in the schools? Well, how do you test on a standardized test when little bubbles dance? How do you test somebody's real proficiency in music with a little bubble, right? And so we have to get away from some of these bubble-type testing and look at other ways to test students. The other thing is, and your wife will tell you this, in a school day, because she sees it in middle school, in a school day, how much time is there? And that's why saying we're going to set aside time for band or for art, and especially with the new movement for career pathways. If you choose a career pathway in high school, you don't have time for foreign language. You don't have time for band. You don't have time for any of these. And by the way, you know from being in band, you could go out and sell anything because, boy, those band kids learned how to sell. Right? So, yeah. So the point here is that there isn't time. So that's why it is so critical now, one, to look at different measures for assessing students. And the second thing is to go ahead and say, okay, I can't have time for band, but we want teachers to be proficient enough so music can be integrated, so arts can be integrated. So you're teaching through the arts.
Okay, we'll get back to that because we've got a number of callers here, so let me just grab this here. G. Will from Los Osos.
Hi.
You're on the air.
My name is Will. I'm a retired theater teacher. I taught a good portion of my career at a performing arts high school, and so we were lucky because we had an extra class each day that students took so that in seven periods they had more options for electives. Now, those kinds of programs are few and far between, and usually they're put there for the wrong reasons, and they're just kind of show and tell things. But the arts are so tremendously important. You talked earlier, one of your guests, about how math scores, people are a lot more proficient in math oftentimes if if they are involved in music. Well, it's also true that if they're in choral music and if they're in theater, they read better and they write better. We've had, as a problem, all kinds of federal programs over the years, oftentimes mandated ones, but ones that there is no money that accomplishes it, but they demand certain things. And education has been required, public education has been required to do more and more and more things, kind of like our police, who have to take care of people with mental illness, homeless people, et cetera, all of a sudden they're the only people left to do those things. Well, an awful lot of the similar kind of situation is set up for teachers, where they aren't really able to teach kids what will give them the most rounded education and the one that really is the education for the present and for the future. We're doing all the wrong things.
Okay. Very good points. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Okay, thank you. We've talked before about lack of funds. Okay, that's something that came up. We've talked about it generally, about lack of funds in education and lack of funds in a lot of areas of our society right now. I'm wondering, we're willing to do sports as an extracurricular environment is a way to maybe overcome some of the concerns that you have as far as space for electives, space for whether or not academic track students have enough time for this. Are there ways to do a better job or a more thorough job, if you will, of integrating arts into extracurricular environments?
My problem with that, having been a high school teacher for 12 years, is that I think, again, the students whose parents cannot afford dance lessons and music lessons, etc., are the lower socioeconomic and sometimes where they're second language learning families, and they need to ride the bus home, or they need to go home and take care of their siblings because the parents are working two jobs. And so, again, what we would be doing is the cream would still get rising, higher, thinner, and all the students who need it. And I think the answer comes from having teachers who integrate it as part of the everyday curriculum across the entire curriculum. Sports, unfortunately, is a nice analogy, but, people value. They think that the child's going to go on and be in the NBA or the NFL and make hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, whereas, artists are the quote starving artists. They don't understand the impact it actually can have on your employability.
I think I value very much school sports, and they're very important to developing discipline and confidence and competence in kids. And there's taking nothing away from that. But sports are not a core subject, and the arts are, and should be considered on par with math and history and science.
I was thinking it more from a standpoint of how you get your foot in the door or back in the door in a lot of environments. If administrators at schools are saying they don't have the money to hire more teachers to do this, or they don't have the money to set aside classrooms and have them in the arts, whether or not it gives you the ability, not an answer, but an entree, if you will, in a lot of environments.
So there is room for after school and summer arts programming. And in fact, the California Arts Council supports those types of programs too. They have four new grants programs to support education after school and in the summers and in the community. But what we're talking about here is actually working with districts so that they can see how it can actually happen, how they can program delivery of the arts in the school day. And what's wonderful is we have a very good superintendent of public instruction for California in Tom Torlakson, and he is committed that the arts are viewed on par with the other school subjects, and in fact led an arts education task force. And there is, since 2015, a blueprint for creative schools. And some of the aspects of that are supporting arts curriculum, enhancing the quality of the educator in preparation, professional learning in the arts, producing high-quality assessments, which Kay was talking about, because there are ways to test the arts through portfolios and performance that are different than, you know, subject or check-the-box tests, multiple choice, and ensuring access and equity, just as Kay said. So it's happening for every student, even special ed students. And strengthening the collaborative relationships working together with the community arts and the independent visual and performing literary arts who can be trained to work in schools side by side with the teacher, and to expand the role of industry in supporting arts education and finding funding. So those are some of the aspects. And then taking to the funding level, there's now a process of local funding formulas where the districts get to decide with input from the community how to invest in their students' best education. And they create local control and accountability plans annually. So the arts can be part of that. And it's about focusing on where to make it work and start incrementally. It can't all happen overnight. Start incrementally.
Okay. This, you would not be here to talk about this subject, either of you, if this wasn't already being done everywhere you want it to be done.
That's
so,
right.
So to some extent, this is a it's you have to make a cold call to a school superintendent saying, we'd like to talk with you about, my words, not the words you necessarily use, what's not being done for the arts and the benefit of your students in the arts. So what kind of response are you getting from districts, and why does that cold call even need to be made? Are superintendents, if superintendents were doing what you believe they should be doing, which is already integrating this as part of their program, it becomes bad analogy, but I like analogies, and it was probably the best I can do. If somebody is trying to sell you something that you don't believe you want or need, but their job is to really convince you that you both need, you really need it, and then you'll want it, where do you start?
Well, education, it's an enormous process to ensure proper education for our students. In the public schools, it's not an easy puzzle, and each district has its own set of issues and opportunities. So I actually feel with Dr. Brezhe's leadership and the 10 districts, there's actually a lot of good movement happening already, because this is on the table now. It's a subject that's being talked about at the educational leaders programs every month. The district superintendents gather monthly. This is part of the conversation. And with coupled with the statewide movement and the resources that are available for schools and districts to take a look at and adapt for the size and shape of their school districts, it's working. It just takes time.
I think another thing, too, is even Senator Moyning, I've talked with him. And so even at the legislative level in this, which is Monterey, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo, he represents, and he is the head of the Senate in the state of California. They understand this. But I think it's the parents' understanding, because parents want their children, number one, to succeed, and number two, to get good jobs and have a good life. And unfortunately, the PR has been, you've got to be good in math and science. You've got to be good in math and science. So the superintendents understand this. The county superintendent, the state legislature, the governor. I mean, we understand this. It's parents' understanding that if their children are in the arts, then they're going to do better in math and science. They're going to be able to have the confidence to get out there and get good jobs. And I kind of agree, because my background was the performing arts. I was the drama teacher, right? And I'm a very good writer. I said I write grants, okay? And I think part of that is coming from, and I'm sitting here talking like this, even though I have a lisp, a speech impediment. I'm not afraid because of my background. And that's what we want to give kids. We want kids to be intellectually self-confident. Because if you're intellectually self-confident, I believe I can go out and do anything. Just give me enough time, I'm going to learn it. That's what we want. And that's what you get from the arts, okay? But parents have to understand it. It has to come from parents saying, yeah, we want these in the school, okay?
There's a parallel movement, too, Fred, STEM to STEAM. So the movement STEM is for science, technology, engineering, and math.
Okay.
And there's STEAM, where let's add that arts into that. So build that STEAM.
Because I will say that the STEM program is a phrase I'm quite familiar with. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, it comes up. It's a topic that comes up quite often.
Mm-hmm. But, and we support that. Yeah. I think my late husband was a math teacher, mm-hmm. and we completely met. You know, that's where the arts and sciences are sisters.
So you understand that, yeah, from the same background.
Yes.
We do have a caller, and I apologize for them holding on a second. Let's see. Is it Joanna? Is that correct, or have I completely destroyed your name, but you're on the air?
Hi, yeah, this is Joanna.
Okay.
And you said I'm on?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, great. Hi. Well, you guys, I'm so excited to hear how just that we're talking about this and how wonderful Dr. Brescia is. My gosh, he's really, bringing the art and education and trying to bring them together, and I love that. I wanted to add to the conversation that there are some schools, like Alma Dacres Charter Academy, they do what's called project-based learning. And that is where they combine the arts with all the core curriculum so that the students are having projects that they get to incorporate art, music, dance, whatever, film production into. And it's an exciting program to see how that works. And then aside from that, one of the other really great things we have in this county is the PRIOF, which is the Paso Robles Youth Arts Foundation. And that is free to students to go take art, music, dance, theater, filmmaking, songwriting. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, and those kinds of organizations need the support of the community that can afford it, because what you're saying is true, that a lot of times kids with a lower socioeconomic basis don't get these programs. But as a community, I hope we can come together to support the organizations that are offering these.
Yeah, very good point. Thanks very much. We've actually had the folks from the Paso Robles program on before, and that is a program that is indeed targeted at the low socioeconomic areas of Paso Robles, so that's good to hear.
It's a wonderful program, and it's true to work both ends against the middle. We all need to work together.
Yeah. We have another call. Hold on a second. Let me see. Mark, are you still there? Thanks for waiting.
Oh, you're very kind. I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm here.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I wanted to go ahead and emphasize something that I thought was overlooked by your other presenters at this time. I have taught in both Texas and Nevada. And what I have noticed with those schools and that I have been associated with, and national studies have shown, that the students who are the most heavily involved in the arts tend to have the highest test scores for the schools. And so my concern and my confusion is, if test scores are very important to the schools, why are they cutting the programs that would drive the test scores? And I'd like to pose that to your
Kay and Angela. Let me have them answer. If you still have your radio on, can you listen off the air? Or do you want to stay on the phone?
You can stay on here. The radio's off.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
I think it goes back to what I said earlier, that it's a PR thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, the body of research is so strong that when you go after a national grant through the National Endowment for the Arts, they don't even want you to mention the research because it is so clear.
It's a given. It's just a given.
But it comes back to, I think, parents' perceptions very often that it is kind of a frill, that it's just another activity. And I think we need to do a much better job in the community of what you just said. I mean, the statistics on people who win Nobel Prizes being accomplished professional artists, the body of research, but it comes back to parents believing that that math and science and focusing on math and science and now focusing on, being prepared for a career, we've got to be prepared for a career, are more important than the arts. So I think it's partially that.
Yeah. Very good point. Thanks for the call, Mark. Okay. I want to jump in for a second. The if parents are parents a roadblock to this? Because you, Kay, you've kind of implied that maybe convincing parents that this is a valuable part of their school program is become a tough sell, as much as it is convincing school administrators that they can afford to do this.
So I don't want to give that impression at all.
Okay.
I think quite the opposite. I think parents are so extremely important to the improvements in arts education. And in fact, before our most recent recession, which was quite protracted, Americans for the Arts facilitated a nationwide study. And it proved that parents, in fact, do get it. They do know their children need arts education in their school day. They understood that. What they didn't understand, the study proved, is what that looks like. And so it's incumbent upon this, you know, Create Slow, this, this collaborative group, including the Office of Education, leadership from the districts, leadership from parents groups, leadership from arts organizations, to work together and explain to parents and school boards and share with them what that looks like, what a comprehensive education in the arts looks like.
Yeah, I want to get back to that, but I don't want to let our callers have to sit too long on hold here. So, Charlie from Lompoc, you're there. You're on the air.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm
jump
here.
On in.
Okay, Charlie Blair. I did band grammar school through college, and it really helped me. Great kids in there. One of the things I think the arts and such keeps kids in school. They the other thing, it gives them a good peer group to relate to. I also remember Joshua Bell, a famous violinist, was a math major. I think he may have a PhD. Also, when I was one of my patients when I was at Mather was a retired military, was a music teacher. He did his master's on the outcome of kids that were in band. Follow them over like 10, 20 years. They were doctors, lawyers, business executives, to borrow a thing. And they most of them went on to great careers. So I'm a big booster in band, and I think it's unfortunate that they're cut.
Yeah, very good point. Thank you for the call.
Right.
We do have some programs in this county. What comes to mind is Atascadero has a fine arts academy. Is that effectively addressed? And I don't know if I want to put you in a position where you may have to disagree with a school or not, but is that effectively addressing the what you want to see happen?
That's very effective, and actually that district is making moves to expand programs. Templeton has a very strong program, and great leadership. There are some really good examples of things happening around the county, and it's really a matter of planning. First of all, inventorying your district to understand what you have and what you need, and then planning for those incremental changes and finding the personnel that you may need.
And remember, I said when we wrote that $6 million Career Pathways grant, our school districts demanded that visual and performing arts be pathways. So we are, our district is actually, I mean, our county is actually very aware of the importance.
San Luis County, for some of our listeners know that one of my hobby, if you will, is putting on house concerts. I'm not a performer. I just actually have a house concert in my living room 9 or 10 times a year. And musicians that we've had that are almost all touring musicians as opposed to local musicians, there's been a recurring conversation we've had with them, and that is they said that, you know, San Luis Obispo County, for the size of the county and the economic makeup, has more performing arts venues and environments that may not even be considered a commercial venue available than any other county in California of its size. The example has been that, you know, that we have more places than Santa Barbara County in San Luis County, not to pick on Santa Barbara County from that standpoint. But I'm wondering, is there anything that we can tie the level of live performing arts that we have in San Luis County now to the school process. We used to give you an example. Joe Craven, who's known to a lot of the listeners of KCBX because he's the MC at the Live Oak Music Festival, who happens to be performing here this weekend. He's done programs at schools, and they have told him when he's done elementary school programs, you know, the kids aren't going to sit still for more than about 20, 25 minutes, so catch your program to that. He says, no, I do about 45 or 50. And they said, oh, you're going to have trouble. He says, I've been doing this for many, many years, trust me. And I've actually sat and watched Joe do a program with elementary school kids. I don't see enough of that going on. It used to be that you were able to bring in artists to give students in a lot of cases a snapshot of some part of society they're not familiar mm-hmm. with, but also a catalyst to get them interested.
I think two things about that. That was by the way, I booked Joe Craven at least the first time in a school at least 26 or 7 years ago in Placer County.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So he's been at it.
Yeah, he's been at it for a long time. Yeah.
He's fantastic in the schools. But I think the funding cycles affected that. The California Arts Council used to have a touring and presenting grant program where they would match. You would bring an artist such as Joe Craven for a community performance, public mm-hmm. performance, and then additive, they would go to a school or two. That funding was cut. It really hurt a lot of the performing arts presentations in the schools. And now we're just trying to get that keel back to let that be part of the dynamic of arts education. But you can't depend on that being the only thing, because some schools, and I'm going back to the 90s now, were thinking that was their arts education program when they had, you know, the symphony came in once a year and Joe Craven came in once a year and okay, we're done. So it has to be a combination of those things, the short-term visiting artists, the teaching artists engaged with the teachers, the teaching of the teachers themselves in the general classrooms, building some skills so they can feel confident in having an arts lesson or teaching with the arts in another subject area. Okay. It's a combination.
Yeah. Okay, but both of you, we're down to our last couple of minutes, and I usually try and promise you that at this point, it's okay. Yeah. You get your 2 minutes, and I'll stay out of the way.
Okay. a couple of things that in this conversation came to mind that I think are unique in this county. One is that, and this is for part of Monterey County and Santa Barbara County, as well as San Luis, is that our outdoor school through the County Office of Ed, Rancho El Churro, does a phenomenal job of incorporating literature, the visual arts, the performing arts with science, with outdoor education. And teachers come and stay overnight very often for a week with their children, with their students, and it's modeled for them how you can incorporate the arts into the sciences, and actually math also. But I would like to stress again, if there's one thing that I would like to leave listeners with, is that if you want to see academic achievement blossom in children, the research is undeniable that arts in the schools, integrated into the schools, you'll see phenomenal academic achievement. And one of your callers said that. Yeah. The other thing is that arts make us a better society.
Yeah, very good point. Thank you. Angela, you get the last word. I get to finish the program, I realize, but as far as the arts are concerned, you get the last word. So go ahead.
Well, I think that, again, let's celebrate National Arts Education Month by thinking in terms of reflecting on our own arts education, what sparked us as young people, and that can be the same for your children and grandchildren. And ask yourself, is your child prepared? The arts provide life skills, 21st century tools for working in the global economy. They build our multicultural understanding and appreciation of our own cultural heritage and that of others. They help with cognitive growth. The earlier your child or grandchild is involved in the arts, the better their cognitive, emotional, and psychomotor pathways are in the brain. So with the local funding formulas at the schools now, I invite people to get involved, contact Arts Obispo, and learn how you can be part of the collaborative team that helps move forward.
Okay. So you have people who can contact Arts Obispo who may not have school-age children.
That's right.
Okay, that's understood. If you have school-age children and you feel your school is not paying attention, I mean, we know parents at school board meetings are remarkably effective. So I'm wondering what do parents need to start looking at that is or isn't already there that they can build on what's there, or they can challenge their school to do what's not there as a parent?
If they contact Arts Obispo, we can help provide resources for them and so that they can learn about what arts education should look like in a school and then be more involved with the process in the school at the local level through their parent-teacher organization and at the school board.
Yeah. Are there programs like Arts Obispo in Santa Barbara County also?
Yes. They would want to contact the Santa Barbara County Office of Education, Children's Creative Services, or our colleagues at the Santa Barbara Arts Commission. And in Monterey, it's the Monterey Council for the Arts, very involved in arts education there.
Good. Thank you. It's been wonderful to have you guys on the program today. I really appreciate this. It's a topic that that I think doesn't get neglected in this county, but it's really important in a lot of ways, and it's been good to talk with you about this. Again, I'll harp on the fact that being married to a math teacher, I get reminded all the time that if you're a mathematician and you don't have the arts involved in your life, you're probably not a very good mathematician, so that becomes a key factor too. This is Central Coast Voices. I want to remind you that we're a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. Want to thank our listeners at KCBX for being part of this program and the support of KCBX in collaboration with us. The program is also underwritten by a grant from Joan Gellert Sargent, and we appreciate her support also. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here. She's going to speak with guests from, you're going to hear a lot of this next week, but you'll want to listen, Action for Healthy Communities, the report that came out in December of 2016, over 300 pages of incredible background information on everything from housing, economic issues, healthcare issues, educational issues in the county. And Chris is going to discuss that report with Jeff Legato, who is the chair of Action for Healthy Communities, and Lynn Smallbird, who is the grants manager for the Community Foundation. That's the topic. They're going to talk about that report. You can go look at that report at actionslo.org if you'd like to see it in advance. It is downloadable as a PDF if you'd like to look at it and bring your questions forward. Want to remind you again that if you want to contact us about future programs or feedback about this program, voices@kcbx.org is the email address, and the phone number is 543-2323. Want to thank the listeners who support KCBX, because that's why we can have programs on like this in collaboration with the station. I want to thank Angela Toddy and Kay Gore for helping us put on a wonderful program today, talking about a topic that we hope will get you moving towards a better education for all of our children. Up next is This American Life, one of my favorite programs here. Thank you for joining us today on Central Coast Voices. We hope you'll join us again.